talking about how to find joy. Well, the best way to find joy is to invite Paul E. Nelson up to read. And I know that we're just doing these wee little bios, but really he's Mr. Poetry of Seattle and founder of Cascadia Poetics Labs, and he got me involved in this project as an editor. Give it up for Paul Nelson.
I call it Roxy Power, and she's a force of nature, and it's a delight to work with you. I'm going to read three poems. The first two are mine from the book. Self-care tips for the new winter in America. Breathe. Practice the self. Walk. Take the bus. Vacate social mierda. Be careful to whom you surrender. Imagine what the mind of the creek would advise as your next move. Stay sober. No amount of wine can erase the enabled hate. Don't worry. Worry's a misuse of the imagination the prima new knows as holy. Grieve, then organize. Recognize your bioregion. Ginkgo leaves still fall. Watch them fall. Breathe again. Vow kindness. Constant creation of the self is a tricky mess. It's winter in America again, but always was to many mammals. Vow to end winter in America for them. Adopt Conrad's intrusion technique. Squeeze toes. Intrusions are temporary, as is every winter. Don't wait for a hero. The hero era's over. Meditate on the image of a Valkyrie in her teacher, swan, and/or warrior forms. Eat lighter. Put a face on your fruit. Hyper-local. Listen to Carlo Blay. Forge local spaces of difference and social tactics of resistance. Get acupuncture. Breathe mugwort. Bolster electrolytes. Sing the body electric. Build social housing. Enact Medicare for all. Do not patronize monopolies. The best response to a poem is another poem. How to live in a moment that is at once daily and mythic. Sit zazen. Do latihan. Keep a war journal. Contemplate. Not so much content, but atmosphere. Blue mental health down by the duck potato. Social doses of penis envy, which is a mushroom, by the way. Envision regime change. Get money out of politics. Oppose oligarchy. No, there are no good billionaires. Tantra felicidad. Free Palestine. Free Leonard Peltier. See how the poem worked? It was written before. And he's out now. Hear indigenous elders. Honor ancestral homelands. Light sage. Smudge everything. Notice the crimsons and golds and veins in fallen maple leaves. Note your breath. Try not to bite anyone. Avoid AI. AI is the aspartame of consciousness. Show up for yourself. Sing. Whistle. Hear the creek. Get your teeth clean, get a soap, do yoga, Kapalabhati breathing, shining skull breath, light a white candle, practice sound poetry, savor vowel sounds, listen, find your place where you are, begin practice, actualize the fundamental point, commit, seek harmony and harmonious intersections, forget the self, deepen gratitude, become a mammal patriot, finish. Wanda, at the beginning of this poem, is Wanda Coleman, and she would have a few things to say about what's going on right now. Winter in America again. Wanda's words were, when under the gun, who has time to keep a war journal? So lays down the task for reality government 2.0. WWF style FBI and CIA ought to scare the lion-hearted. Yet here we sit. Wonder how the common people prosper, how withstand bomb cyclones of the atmospheric and cultural, make friends with all enemies within. We once called it intersectionality and found harmony lacking, though Brenda said Occupy gave us clues. In partial November sun, we seek allies. Winter's but one season, though this one's run is set for 1,461 days, not counting the last days between neoliberal and the effification of we the people. An eagle at Zazen's end in need of breakfast, past the candlelight, guides Thursday meditation. Vow to harm nothing here. Vow to enter Dharma gates, one of which may be this winter again in U.S. America. This is not bottomless dark. There is no bottom but sky. No sky can't be nourished with what the small intestine won't need. No beginnings except after endings. We must respect choking on the fumes of the neoliberal. Dufu watching the aura's gold and silver grace nights. Michael reducing it to a grrrr. Olson pleading the polis, which he knew somehow in the 50s was eyes. Joanne in the Bolinas backyard, quail counting the last days of ecopoetics. Worried nature poetry is Brenda's definition of ecopoetics. And with each whiff of worry redirected into the prayer rug, we remember our vow to free the numberless beings. The crow murder hightailing it to the roost before the bomb cyclone. The dub fur smashing the empty metro bus. Those who would guard congressional bathrooms rather than legislate for the polis. So goes the end of empire, which can't withstand the depths of the Aquarian age or whatever choo-choo stands in the way of he who won't be named and his cabinet of predators. My war journal has begun as you are my witness and as history attempts to repeat itself in the home of the brave.
June, and then I'll end with a new one. And often I can do me. Leaving the north rim behind to my east, the interstate takes on a new name, Grand Army of the Republic Highway. As I approach Crescent Junction, the Green River in wildfire haze. I'm stuck traveling a loop, mulling over the years I have whittled away, pining for a reddish Moab view of arches, steps, isolated canyons, only to arrive, find the air is ghastly, a ghost film reeling, sick before and under my gaze. It has been days since I left the Delta, days since my lover called but didn't leave a message, days since it became clear I am actually on mute. I proceed through Mormon country, past their Salt Lake diminishing billboards presenting overblown images of very young women, smooth skin, white, blonde, tresses, arguing for their rights for plural marriage, and I will be turned away from the hotel where I made reservations, redirected to stay elsewhere. A room sharing a door with invisible migrant working women speaking an indigenous language muffled. I will continue with what I know. Lock the entrance, stand before the mirror, cast off my clothes, cast wild magic, chaos upon their old world order. I am wordless action against this land's business of Mr. and Mrs., their commerce of yeses and noes. Dandy's Wild. This is after Robin Cost Lewis's The Wild Woman of Aiken. The first line is a springboard of the last line in that poem, which is, "You cannot prevent me." You cannot prevent us from casting sunflowers to seed at the fence, hedging a border trap crop for diamondback stink bugs, purple mustard greens, thick, unruly at our feet, sheltering snail orgies, orange leaf-footed nymphs are welcomed. We cast your brocades aside, slip shoes off at the door, dig the clay deep where the water table rises, spin earthen vessels. Our voices are sitting in the open glow of swelling nightshades in rows. Keep your corn, keep your measures. This spring you'll find only broken vases and rusted gates flung against your march. May we weave the dried invasives under no one's watchful eye. Fill them with eager, fill them with spicy radish, harboring pickled cucumber vines, okra welcoming the sugar ants to our west, a million underfoot. We don't bury our dead, we house them behind welded iron, curling, still listening, dark welcomes what has always existed. You try, 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 but you can never stamp our abundance. Mm-hmm. Self-portrait. As joy, as a number saved on speed dial, as a shimmer of breath on the philtrum, a cupid's bow, as a mycelium-fed stump, a seat, a tabletop, a home, as a moment, as a blank page, as distant thunder, as pencils and pocket folders, as stones and seeds stacked on the altar through winter, as a flowering ball, as a single daisy, a pink gerber, sprouting from cracked desert concrete, as on the road, as reaching the destination, as a memory. Thank you.
Hypnotizing musicality. reading. It was beautiful. Thank you so much. And next up is my compadre from the Hive Poetry Collective and hailing from Bellingham and Santa Cruz, Dion and Riley.
Became blood soup.
And it seemed my lost beauty, when beauty was everything, was a kind of sin. The dogs found me in the barn. Three reddish ones, coyote-like, with all-seeing eyes. A thick-coated alpine type, and a big poodle, her bouffant grown out. They circled me and sat, turned their faces skyward like upward-pointed arrows, and we howled all morning, all afternoon, until hunger, cold, or maybe some unheard whistle sent them home. Whatever I'd suffered, they came to partake, like sharing wine or meat. When the flames ate me, when I heard the ravenous cackle on my dying skin, I stayed silent. But that day, with those dogs, once I started, it was all I wanted, song and speechless celebration. It would be years before my words returned and I spoke again in a human tongue.
Thanks, Dion. I'm glad you're here.
Oh, thank you, Ernie.
Poetry is news that stays news. Monogamous crows. How about that? I had no idea.
Yeah.
I've never heard the phrase crow orgy, so it's exciting.
I've never heard of watching a crow.
I've never heard of murder in me. Well, there's at least one more Hive person to read, at least one more tonight. And she's a co-editor of this book. And she's next to read for you. Please welcome Roxy Powell.
The economy, the podcasts, the brilligarchy, the Keurig, the water bowl, the plastic tub once filled with spinach float now in our future. Nylon nets catch in the throat. Untangle that. Such interiority is generic now. If x-rayed, we'd all be a hose so tangled we may end up united in the undertow just by chance. Inside our own weather, we tumble like semis down the Ho Chi Minh Trail, as they call I-80 in Wyoming, the Great Basin guffawing at us all. The greenery changes with each rest stop like switching channels, as if we're in control. The upper registers of trees dance, watch over us in the gust. Can I dance with Republicans? Some prefer earth, wind, and fire, so yes. How it felt in eighth grade when you weren't quite cute enough and they made sure you knew. There's a standard poodle who knows how to win. It's my party. I'll incite if I want to. He did grab the wheel, but not hard enough. Noose waits for any flickering spectacle, a site-specific installation for a metaphorical neck, ours. It's why I can't sleep mornings. The thinness of that stem holding up the flower of my head as it sinks into the fog, willing to be shaped to the insurrection in one's mind. It leaves an imprint with clues for why they're clawing their way back to 1955, why we fetishize the moment between winning a war against fascism and walking the Cold War path toward it, democracy by any other name. If you name it and arm it, your polis will hold in any storm, like a well-sprayed hairdo, an updo, like Audrey Hepburn's or Lana Turner's. The B-52s after the damage was done. Who's belly laughing now? It's been a nice long sleeping ride in the back seats of their Cadillacs where we've been allowed to sit silently in their atmosphere, breathing their Marlboro air. After tapping on the wheel for a chance to drive, we were knocked back to the middle of last century, our pinafored horror frozen on faces that hadn't yet screamed at the Beatles, hadn't yet seen Emmett Till, bodies exploded on nightly news. The bringing down of America so we could bring ourselves up. And this one's called A Supermarket in Pisa. Have you guys ever heard of Allen Ginsberg's poem called A Supermarket in California? Yeah. There's probably a name for, yeah. Anyway, that's after, you should read that if you haven't before. So it's after that poem. What plots I have to unwrite tonight, Heidegger, for I blindfolded myself and spun around under the stars with a head full of panic, self-emptying, dreaming of a full moon or other horizon. In my fatigue with mere blindness and shopping for an escape from the sensorium, I put on noise-canceling headphones and entered the Imaginarium, supermarket to the stars, dreaming I was also Beethoven. Oh, senses and their enumerations. What pitches and what glissandos, whole lines chopped smoothly into perception as though Levertov whispered in my ear. I moved carefully, experimentally blind, shopping at night. Aisles full of whorehounds, babies coughing like tornadoes. And you, Robert Duncan, what were you doing down by the magazines reading Mother Jones? I saw you, Ezra Pound, hardly guileless, lonely old scrubber freed from prison through New Directions editions of the Contos, poking among the MAGA, eyeing their brains and saying, nah, hardly F.T. Marinetti, just underpaid grocery boys. I heard you asking questions of each. Who killed the vortex? What price banalities? Are you the angel, the muse, or the duende? I wandered in and out of your stacked lines played on audible, following line breaks, implied line breaks in their rhythms and followed in my imagination by the store detective, Duncan. We strode through the open forums together watching Chet Baker, switching to Chet Baker's Let's Get Lost, tasting fancy lips, possessing every silver trumpet and never passing the bottle hidden in Chet's pocket. Where are we going, Ezra? Our eyes close in an hour after we remove our blindfolds. Which way does your fear point tonight? I touch your book and dream of our awkwardness in the supermarket and feel interred. Will we be hit tonight by Uber, speeding through solitary streets? The homeless are shades, lights out in the sodden tents, like you in your cage, dreaming of the lost bardo of war while autodidacts and headphones make each cottage silent. Ah, feathery gray bird, lonely old Latin and Mandarin teacher. What Idaho did you leave when Mussolini quit killing his fairies and you got out on a bank smoking a pipe and stood watching the boat you missed disappear on the tracked waters of the Grand Canal? All right, thank you, everybody. And if none of that makes sense, just read the contos by this repound and it will all become clear, or not.
Roxy Power. Our next reader is Angelica Resierto. Please welcome her.
This first poem is in the anthology, To Stand on a Wednesday. The folly grows in my throat, opens to acid. Sigmura is the only word for this, studying over a sink in my mother's Tagalog. On the New York ferry, broken seats concede to commuting bodies. A district unfurled cannot quiet the scratching of pencils. Somewhere a river empties its ears. In a Pittsburgh I don't know, men with more arms than needed unload bagged ballots. Teacher angel friend fears wearing a shirt, showing her students she's the last safe adult. Drier flames than we have known could swallow this November. I shade all eyes from unfamiliar neighbors. And I'll just read one more. This one I wrote recently after a protest in New York City calling for the release of Mahmoud Khalil. Helicopters creep over half-dressed windows, naming the day before the birds can. Unlike Mahmoud, I slept through the night, my passport born in another state. I wrap my neck and head off to court, where the kismet of a man and mine are chambered. At Foley Square, there is everyone I do not know but love. Reporters ask me why, and I name the birds falling. Precedent, president, prescient. By high noon, lawyers rehearse their marble program. I am 6 feet tall with a sign bouncing over my head. But I can leave for lunch and the street will not disembowel. I uncrowd into a pot belly, full of suits, burping without consequence. Thank you.
And now it is my distinct honor to welcome to the stage an amazing poet from the Bay Area, Elizabeth Robinson.
So thanks to the editors and the endless energy of Roxy's organizing and to Pablo. But especially thanks for all the great poems, because this couldn't exist without the poets. So I'm going to read my poem, but first I'm going to read this powerful piece by Mario Brown called Doorknob. Fear has his hand on the doorknob to your daughter's bedroom. Fear is a painter. The earth revolves around the sun. Byron Katie says, when I argue with reality, I lose, but only 100% of the time. I want to learn the difference between imagination and reality. I want to earn the difference between imagination and fear. Fear is a painter, perhaps our greatest American master. Galileo knew the earth revolved around the sun. But when the Inquisition put its fingers on his bedroom doorknob, he said the earth revolved around fear, like they wanted. Galileo said, I recanted because I was afraid of physical pain. Fear is a painter. What is our imagination for 100% of the time? What color are the curtains in your daughter's bedroom? Are they the color of physical pain? Fear said, if she weren't my daughter, perhaps I'd be dating her. The earth revolves around my son. The earth revolves around my daughter. I will not hand over my daughter's body I will not hand over my son's mind. What is our imagination for? Revolution. Revolution 100% of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty great. And now I'm going to read my poem, so. Yeah, Mari Brown. It's called Each Day. Each day, I pull something from my right ear. Scroll, thought bubble, light, bulb, a wick of fur, I set a fire. My ear is a clown car, a vehicle I promise not to enumerate any further, and I might hear the dog sighing, the fan revolving. But nothing further, nothing could be further from the infamy I forswear to hear. Little wick burning, ears bursting, cartoon clouds of steam all the way or all the time. A mind of smoke stoked by flat refusal, not by fear. Thanks.
Lines, a lithograph, perhaps an etching. the sky replaced with a featureless blank. In the face of implacable fall, we've chosen the art of the pen, the graver, the fine pointed needle. The colors hardened in their tubes, dry and congeal in their bottles. Crimson, crimson only, and black. At the ribbed northern end of New Jersey, an autumnal chill sharpens the eye. The lights of Manhattan are hard, gem-like flames across the miles. The trains and buses shuttle us back and forth, as always. They do not know their history. The new world leans into its senescence, querulous and snappish, jealous and unappeased. Feeding the cats, emptying the garbage, the girl pauses to ask herself a question now and again, but rarely shares. She's not cynical per se. Hope is not an option for her generation. My boots down at the heels polish themselves in crisp sifts of leaves. Sun, a cold comforter.
Thanks, Mark. We have chosen the art of the pen, indeed. Our next reader is here from Kent, Washington. He serves on the board of my organization, the Cascading Poetics Lab. Please, a warm hand for Matt Treese.
Concentric crowns of sage top spin above alleys, woodsides, and corners. Embers that rest around shadow men swing from death's gates to play tambourine. Their high notes are the sign that figures everything around them, that rebreaks and washes clean every chain and every courtyard, that melts every 44 revelation trumpet to a moving river of altars. And the concrete churns those who can't raise, and every hood of a deli and deluxe squad car is replaced by windows, and with our faces, scavengers of his body and kneecaps go blind after shadow men affix their breakbeats. And the world will be lit by their men, by their neon upper room with rosebush thorns, colonnades of sage and lilies that sweep the dead from 10,000 valleys lit from the lights flashed on his body. Charged from the codes they turn to curses, they will rest on clouds of joy, then they will see the lost tree of life and weep for its rarefied air. Then I will die with your heart, my morning star. Then they will know I was there. And read these two pieces that are in the anthology, and in March of 2020, sitting day after day for a week at the kitchen counter trying to figure out like everyone else, like if the world was going to keep going on. And so I decided to, as Paul and Wanda Coleman were saying, to keep a war journal. So I think I wrote about 100 prose poems that year. These come from that. Acoustic treatment number 80. When the rain washes you clean, you'll know. Epigram from Steve Nicks. We have returned to the days of ash, the days of orange and purple sky we've been unable to breathe for so long. How many years have we let this fire burn? We are burning inside out like we were years ago when the tower card was permanently etched in our DNA. Oh, Prometheus, if we only knew what it takes, this fire, this Armageddon, this Ragnarok, this full circle. Oh, Virgil, where have you taken us in this mortal life? Oh, ghost of Christmas yet to come, we have come again to the last days of human history, to that horizon, threshold of a new world. And still the naysayers, the resentful hordes who desire their chains, threaten to drag us back. We've got some difficult days ahead. Like Dr. King, we've seen the promised land. It's within our reach, our eyes to have seen the glory of the coming. May we get there soon, feel the rain. When it comes, when it washes us, we'll know, we'll know. Acoustic treatment number 82. My body is a filter. The air is full of the disintegration of planetary history. We are losing our interstitial mind, and our lungs and kidneys and spleens are choking on it. Mars at a standstill, burning so hot with the collective rage fueling this year's novel apocalypse. We come again and again to the last days. Oh, Duncan, how many more times, how many more of these plagues will it take to let go of this deep-seated indignity that is America? A resource stolen, a new mythology of penance in place of "in the beginning" was the word, replaced with a slave master shouting, "You have to earn your keep." Ain't no one got enough back to break to become a child of God. It's a spiritual pyramid scheme we've been conned and left with, this burning wilderness, this Eden on fire. They're destroying the evidence and denial, and the rest of us can't breathe, forced to sit, to be still and know the source of power. We've got it within us to flood this place, to bring the rain, to wash away the end of the world, to start anew. Thank you.
So you have to wait because you're not even going to believe who's on her way. I'm not going to tell you. Okay, it's, we hope she finds her way. Do you know who Brittany, then you just get up and leave right now, right when I said that? Okay, so that's fine. Okay, do you guys know who Brenda Hillman is? Okay, it's her birthday. I just want to say that. And she's actually one of the many people who have been lost on their way here, but she's really worth it, so I hope you'll stay. But, so we were thinking of the last poet tonight, not only because her last name starts with Z, but because she's clearly the most important one, having the seed thought for this whole anthology. From Tucson, Arizona, please welcome Katie Sarah Zales.
Work on it months, sometimes years. And I just think it's amazing, some phenomenon that not only the poems that I created for this anthology, but others that I've heard, you know, I'm thinking a few of Holly, you know, mentioned it, and others. I don't know. It'll probably never happen to me again, you know, but there was something so strong that I just really needed to put it in poetry. So this one was written November 6th. It is different this time. The mountains have stopped breathing. Unripe grapefruit fall. The orange trees lie fallow. And the snowbirds, black-eyed, white-tailed juncos, fail to come this year. I have grown tired. Time after time, as wind or whim destroys its weave, the spider labors with less heart. I sit in the night with Levertov. We watch a blue flash signal the last instant of sunlight. What's human here? What hope is here? She asks. My life's wounds gather as weight on my chest. Only a poet would say a wound is language that has lost all meaning. I long to bore holes in our words and let the silence out. How familiar this night, the same moon, the same stars, and a rustling in the wind. Yet tonight, I hear voices, a quantum connection from down the street, across the land and seas. I have never been so angry. I have never been so afraid. What will save us? Anger helps me out of bed in the morning. It writes in my journal, I cross everything out. By afternoon, I walk with Basho. We go Oko into the forest, into the farthest of places, that place within. No family, no friends, no footprints mark the path. I meditate on leaves that float on a river, how they pause, catch an eddy, disappear. I sit with the palo verde and shrubs blown from their roots, the red bird of paradise still in full flower. A wash of sand that surrounds the cheap grass slips into the Santa Cruz River. Coyotes with blue eyes gaze into mine, blink, and move on. By evening, here we are, me writing and you by my side. Do you feel it? A symbiotic magic, you and me together, believing again in words, believing poetry will save us. You know, I've also done a few, in Tucson, a few readings, and I was surprised, and after the fact, I don't know why I was surprised, but people came up and they said, thank you. You know, this was such a healing experience, and I needed this so badly. So I encourage, you know, I encourage them and I encourage you, if that's your takeaway from this book and these readings, please host some yourself. Because it's a gift. It's really a gift to a lot of people, and I think we're going to need that even more in the coming months. This last poem is after William Stafford, who wrote a poem, I think it's For My Friends, Do Not Be Afraid. And my title is For My Friends Who Are Not Afraid. It is a time to be afraid, a time to look deep into the first person you meet, stay silent until their fear locks with yours. steady one another as your knees falter, as the struggle to find words brings you down. What you fear takes you into yourself. Here we are, each other, each alone. We are now the country we asked for. We carried each other here. Thank you.
Sit there in the air. It looked like socialism after money. It was night.
My love had gotten up, perhaps to read Colum Toybean or Hamlet commentaries. I'd gotten up to pray to moonlight, to water and dark energy and word seeds, to spirits of dead children, to sorrow circles around mothers of killed children, mothers of babies lying in the straw, in the dirt, at dawn, red roses, letters from the jail, not solstice fair exactly. My good spirits don't hold up against my yearning. She imagines a trip, not Xanthoria breaking things down, fairly common on bark. If you peel a piece of it from history, the rest continues. And then I'll read, there was a poem today, and a poem a day that Academy of American Poets puts out. So I thought I'd read that because it's a birthday poem. And it's called 1951, this features two songs. Was it odd to be born? Was it odd to be born when women wore rickrack and the sun was a bracelet of yes? When wind bent dandelions in puffy winglets and wisdom did raise her voice and not say weed? And when the toad did raise its spikes at the same time as federal codes and the try to be perfect raised its voice? Did the clang of copper collectors in the too many lawns begin in Arizona while peel paint steeples rose over dirt for the prism of progress? Minerals torn from mines with no mouths, but you had a mouth and sang early. When nuclear testing began north of Love and the Remington computer was placed in office use, when there was just as much beauty in sex as later, while some lay down in drive-ins and Chevys on seats the colors of crushed berries and phone calls went up to a dime, when Congress loaned money to countries because their grains had ancient fungus, Claviceps purpurea, that caused visions and swelling under the silent claw of the predator? Was shame in you born before beauty? Was beauty, was shame, was beauty? As white gravel spread under white churches, as silver sequins on danceless dresses tacked on each hanging by a thread, like drops of sweat on horses at city's edge, while downcast daisies were mimicked on sisterly aprons, catching sugars from women, making puddings from boxes under swamp coolers with slightly mildewy pads in a breeze created for doing housework by yourself. Was it odd to be born when two types of purslin in the West were called weed, even agave used to make soap, though it was home to the yucca moth, central and sweet, its terminal clusters piercing thunderheads over red pickup trucks and lowly dog pane hiding from developers with sibling roots of fungi with no downsides to pesticides and florets like diamond periods on certain fonts also were called weed? Was it odd to be born near hillsides with radars like baby ears and question marks under the silent claw of the predator? When mountains shook towards Vino canyons and there was jello salad and picnics? Here from this century, can you say, was it wild to be born? Was there anything else like this, anything at all? Thanks.
Thanks, Brenda. Thanks for schlepping over here on your birthday, even though we don't have any jello salad. We tried. We're going to have jello salad in the other. That's the way it goes. Can we have a hand for all the readers who read tonight? Can we have a hand for Pablo Baller and his staff who made this tweet? And a hand for the editors, of course, Alia Abdullah Mata, Gabriela Gutierrez Ibuz, Robert Lashley, Roxy Power, Christy White, and Teresa Whitehill. I knew who it was. You have to scroll. I got it. We miss Teague. We miss our other editors. We're grateful that you came tonight. We're grateful especially to you all because you stayed. And, you know, we just want you to know that this is temporary, what's going on now. We have to resist it in any way we can, and this is one way that we can do that. In Greenland, they're doing it another way. They're selling hats that say MAGA. Make America go away! I fucking love that! I don't care that. So social media is good for some things, as I said, but I'm blue skies. Make America go away. Well, you know this idea of Pax Americana? It's crash, burn, crashing and burning right now. So maybe some good things will come from this. Please take care of yourselves. I was had those self-care tips because I want, don't let them put you in a state of fear. Don't let them take away your joy. That's the best thing you can do to fight these people, and that is to be joyful. Thank you for being here.
I'm going to start writing the poetry for the next
anthology. Yes, the next anthology. Thank you very much.
And
applause
for my students.
And the students of Wonderland. And we get extra credit.